Let's get this working properly. All right, folks, I think this is working. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Wa anta tajalul hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika ya Rabbil Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. I hope you're all well. We are live, alhamdulillah, bi fadlillah azza wa jal. From Makkah to Al-Mukarramah, Sharafah Allah. And we are exclusive online. No physical audience. Back to the good old days. Back to the good old COVID days. The online folks loved the good old COVID days. They got full attention, all the love. And then we went on site and then they became the forgotten masses. Not right. The legit people are the asl people online. Let's not forget that. They're the real legit people. You know, when I'm with the people, what's it called? On site? Hardly any of them have any idea what online is, or lessons, or exams, or notes. Nothing. They're all just a bunch of chances who just, you know, they're just chilling there for Salatul Isha. And they don't really kind of, you know what I mean? Let's just be honest about this. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All right, so this is the last lesson. As Muhammad Amir says, crazy man, 12 years gone again. 12 years. Let's give a shout out to all of these legit people. Mesa, shout out to her. Hajra and Samreen and Amreen and Ulfa and Osama and Shams, my guy, and Alina and Amal. MashaAllah, nice to see her there. And then Bilal, what a don. What a Don Bilal is, honestly, man. The amount of work he does for us on LP chat. What a sick guy. Safiya and then Anna. Oh, my goodness. You're awake, Anna, in the Philippines. And then Jiwa. And by Aisha as well, subhanAllah. She's up early. My goodness. Or up late, depending. Then Veer Saab just down the road in Madinatul Munawwara. And then Muhammad again in Maysara. And then Faraz, my guy. I'm here with his in-laws. Lucky boy for us. You've got some good in-laws, mashallah, by the way. I just want to say that. And then Ibrahim, Saima, who must be about five doors down, because Saima's here. And Fizza, who sends messages, subliminal messages through Sidra, who's here. And then Maiza, who's the only one who knows what kind of stress that I'm going through right now with the Hajj. Not that much stress, because everybody knows I eat stress for breakfast and for dinner, twice on a Sunday. And Farida, who didn't help us one single bit. The queen of Hajj 23 didn't give even 10 minutes of sadaqah to Hajj 24 group. Not even 10 minutes, Farida. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive, Farida. Allahumma ameen. Samreen and Safa and Shaista and Mustafa, my guy. And then Amina and then Aliyah. MashaAllah. Farzana. Farzana is there with Farah and Bian as well. All of you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Special salam, special du'as. All the respect, honor, and love in the world to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and increase you. Made lots of du'a for y'all. For y'all. Farida, this sounds like the person who comes to Dawat, yeah, and doesn't get the food. And I was going to ask for it, yeah? Come on, bro. Bro, come on. Shahriyar, I hope you enjoy Milton, bro. Seems that the missus is, I'll tell you that much. Right, folks. We are on the last lesson. We are doing Jum'ah. We are going to read the notes. Welcome, Danish. Right, that's enough welcomes. By the way, guys, make sure that the live button is red, yeah? You got to press the button on the thingamajig so that it's red, yeah? Because that means that it's live. Otherwise, you're watching it, you're watching it behind the eight ball. So our author in today's lesson will say in the Arabic, he says, يشترط لصحتها شروط ليس منها إذن الإمام أحدها الوقت وأوله أول وقت صلاة العيد وآخره آخر وقت صلاة الظهر فإن خرج وقتها قبل التحريم صلوا ظهر وإلا فجمعة الثاني حضور 40 من أهل وجوبها الثالث أن يكون قرية المستوطنين وتصح فيما قارب البنيان من الصحراء فإن نقصوا قبل إتمامها استأنفوا ظهرا. I don't think we'll get past two or three. I think we're only going to be focused on number one. What's the translation of that? There are a number of conditions for the validity of the Friday prayer. The permission of the Imam is not one of them. Firstly, the time. It starts from the beginning time of the Eid prayer and finishes when the time ends for the Dhuhr prayer. If one misses the time before even starting the prayer, he should offer the Dhuhr prayer. Otherwise, he is to pray the Friday prayer. I think that's what we're going to cover today. But maybe. Secondly, there must be 40 attendees present, all of whom legally convened the Friday prayer. I don't think we're going to get there. So the text that we're covering today then is page 30. وَآخِرُهُ آخِرُ وَقْتِ صُلَاتِ الظُّهْرِ. So firstly, the time. The first condition of Jum'ah prayer is the time. It's got to be the right time. What is its beginning time? As we covered last week, according to the Hanbalis, they think it's the beginning time of the Eid prayer. And we've been discussing this in our current tarbiyah program with the group about the concept of the morning and shuruq and duha and the differences and the nuances between them. And the Hanbalis are basically saying that as soon as the duha period starts, which technically is 15 minutes after sunrise, when a person can pray the shuruq prayer or ishraq, that's technically the beginning of duha. And according to the Hanbali madhab, that's also the case. The official Hanbali position. And this is what we call one of the unique positions of the Hanbali school, meaning that they're the only ones who hold this position. Everybody else disagrees. And so will we, as you can see. Anyway, you will see soon. It starts from the beginning time of the Eid prayer and finishes when the time ends for the Dhuhr prayer. That's what we're starting today, the end time. And if one misses the time before even starting the prayer, he should offer the Dhuhr prayer. Otherwise, he is to pray the Friday prayer. Let's just jump into this now then, inshallah, and see what we can see. So we're at the bottom of page 30. Sheikh says that, Sheikh Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, he's saying that the end time of Jum'ah is the end time of Dhuhr, and that's basically when the shadow of an object is the same as the length of the object itself at the time of Zawal. Now, we've covered this in detail. But just in case y'all forgot, let's talk about that and use this fantastic device here. So, what do we have? We have the sun. So, Sheikh is now going to, on top of page 31, he's going to demonstrate this. So he goes, so the sign of that is that when the sun rises in the east, so as it's rising in the east, yeah, then if this item is standing, yeah, it's then obviously throwing a shadow that way. So the shadow is towards the west. And when it starts off, the shadow is very, very long. Very long. Okay. And this shadow starts to decrease, 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 as the sun gets higher, 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 until it reaches a set point and it stops. Let's bring my hand down a bit. It reaches a set point and then it stops. Like that. It's actually above it, but because the earth is like this, it's a bit weird. So it stops and there will be a tiny bit of a shadow on this side as it goes down. It doesn't go down like that, straight down, you see? Because the earth is tilted, it's like this. And therefore, there's a little shadow here. But the point is that it stops. And then the second that it starts then to move, this is now Zawal. This is the start time of the Dhuhr. So the second it starts to move and starts to set, this is the proper setting, the first setting before the sun sets off the horizon. So it's the first setting as it sets. So as it goes like that, the shadow starts to move again. And the shadow starts to increase. So our start point, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, is that we put a start point at the part where it stopped. There's a little shadow there already. There's a little shadow there. That's at the central point. And we start after that shadow. So we put a mark at that shadow. And simply put, that when this, the shadow becomes this length, after that sign, and that will probably be when the sun is about here, and it's throwing off a shadow that's its length there. This is the end time of Salat al-Dhuhr and the beginning time of Salat al-Asr. Okay, wa yadkhul waqt al-Asr. Clear, everybody? Sheikh says, what if someone is to ask a question and say, what's the evidence for all this beginning and ending time? Yani, that it begins here, ends there, starts there, ends there. And the Sheikh says that we have a maxim, a fiqh maxim, very beneficial, he goes, أَنَّ كُلَّ تَحْدِيد بِمَكَانٍ أَوْ زَمَانٍ أَوْ عَدَدٍ فَإِنَّهُ لَأَبُدْ لَهُ مِنْ دَلِيلٍ. Every time that you give a limit for something, either by specifying or limit or specify, any time in Sharia that you specify something, either to a place or to a time or to a number, you've got to pray this many units, you've got to pray in this place, you've got to, you can only... it can only be done in this place or zaman, it can only be done between sun, it can only be done between fajr and sunset, for example. You specify the time or the number. Isha can only be done 4 units, maghrib can only be done 3 units. Every time that you specify and you restrict time, place and number, then you must have an evidence. Because every restriction and specification is needs a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh says, so for example, those people who said that the minimum time for menstruation is a day and a night, and that its maximum is 15 days, they must bring an evidence. They don't, obviously, as we covered in menstruation. وَإِلَّا فَلَا قَبُولًا. And then if they don't have an evidence, then we can't accept it. We can't accept this limitation, this specification, this restriction, this had. Had means limit, right? You've limited it to 15 days. What was the evidence? You've limited the minimum time to not 1 hour, but to 1 day, 1 night. What's your evidence? وَالَّذِينَ حَدِّدُوا مَسَافَةَ الْقَصَرِ بِيَوْمَيْنِ. He said that as for those people who restricted the distance that one needs to travel to be able to pray qasr, to be the distance that one covers in 2 days, okay, they've got to bring an evidence. And those who said that to remain in a place temporarily until 4 days keeps you as a musafir, whereas after 4 days, if you remain in one place, you now don't become a musafir anymore. You don't become a muqim, you become a citizen, okay? A mustaltan, right? You become a muqim, I beg your pardon, and become like a resident, and you're not a traveler anymore, right? And 4 days is that period of time. They have to have an evidence. And he goes, those people who said that when you finish Ramadan and you have to do Eid and you give the fitrana, okay? And this, the fitra, as it's called, this meal, it is a sa'a. It's just one sa'a of weight of food. They have to have an evidence. And those people who said that the entrance time, the beginning time of Salatul Jum'ah starts when the sun is just above the horizon, a spear's length above the horizon, meaning that it's just after sunrise, okay, proper. Then we'll say, where's your evidence, especially with the last one, because it's well known that Jum'ah is happens at the time of Zawal, you know, at that moment when the sun is right at the very highest point and starts to move. That's what everybody knows. So it's either happening at that time or just after it. Why do we know that? Because of the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jazakallah khair, Bilal. And the hadith Abu Hurairah says that whoever takes ghusl and then goes to the masjid, this is assumed, yeah, thumma rah, yani goes to the masjid in the first hour, and then the second hour, they'll get this, and then the third hour, they'll get that. The first one gets the camel, you know, this hadith of the camel, and all the way, and then the third hour, and then in the fourth hour, and then the fifth hour, okay? And then in the final hour, then they get the egg, basically, little value, they went too late. This famous hadith, yeah? And we spoke about these times last week. We said that these times are referring to not 60 minutes, but like equal kind of portions. If you were to divide out the portions, like roughly about an hour though, so it's not major. Sheikh says that this is clear, that this hadith and other hadith that divide that period up clearly indicate that there's a massive difference in time between the... Because the hadith ends that in the sixth hour, the imam comes out and the khutbah starts. So this hadith indicates there's a massive time gap between when people start coming out, which is when the sun rises, and when the prayer is established. He didn't say that the prayer is established in the first part. He said that the people start coming out. But the prayer itself is established right in the sixth portion. Okay? وَعَلَيْهِ فَالدَّلِيلَ عَلَى ابْتِدَاءَ وَقْتَ صَلَاةُ الْجُمْعَةِ. So he goes, this is obviously not an evidence that can be used. If people are going to say that's our evidence, that the beginning time of Jum'ah is the rising of the sun, well, this clearly isn't an evidence. And then they said, okay, we have another evidence in the author of this person called Abdullah ibn Sayyidan, or Abdullah ibn Sayyidan. May Allah have mercy upon him. What did he say? He said that I witnessed the Jum'ah, this is on top of page 32, شَهِدْتُ الْجُمْعَةَ مَعَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. That I witnessed the Jum'ah prayer with Abu Bakr, and his khutbah and his salah was just before midday. Well, not just before, was before midday. Then I witnessed the Jum'ah prayer with Umar, and his khutbah and his salah was ila an aqul, was basically what I can say, roughly midday. يعني إلى أن أقول قد انتصف النهار. يعني I can say that it was almost maybe half day, midday. Then I witnessed the Jum'ah prayer with Uthman رضي الله عنه أجمعين, and his khutbah and his salah is إلى أن أقول, where I can basically say to be that the zawal had occurred just after midday, meaning, you know, we're in now to the hot time. فَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا عَابَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَنْكَرَ. And I never saw a single person either speak up or criticize or make an issue out of it. So this was done in front of them. And his point is that, of course, that when the companions used to see some dodgy behavior or something they disagreed with, they'd make their position clear, either directly or indirectly, because they didn't see it. Nobody said anything, and so on. Sheikh Uthameen says that this has been narrated by Imam Ad-Darqutni and also by narrated by Imam Ahmed, and he used this as an evidence. Imam Ahmed used this narration as an evidence. And Sheikh continues, he goes, وَلَكِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لَا يَسْتَقُمْ سِدْلَالْ بِهِ. And he goes, but this hadith does not actually work as an evidence to say that the Jum'ah prayer starts from the rising of the sun, starts from the sunrise to the level that is above the horizon by a spear's length. Now, the Muhaqqiq at the bottom says it's been narrated by Imam Ad-Darqutni, volume 2, page 817, but also in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, volume 2, 107, also in the Musannaf of Abd al-Razzaq as well, author number 5210. And the author says, and the Muhaqqiq says, he goes, but I didn't find the version that Sheikh Uthameen said is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, so maybe that's a mistake, he goes. وَلَكِنْ فِي رُوَيْتِ عَبْدُ الرَّزَاقِ. He goes that, and also the narration of Abd al-Razzaq, the Musannaf of Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani, he goes that that there's a version of this athar, but the statement that I prayed with Uthman is not included. So just the before and the midday parts are Abu Bakr and Umar. And Abd al-Razzaq said that it's not that the chain of this is authentic until Ibn Abi Sayyidan, it is authentic until Ibn Sayyidan.
Bukhari commented on this narration, this athar, in his another book called Tariq al-Kabir. Okay, Tariq al-Kabir. And he said on the issue of Abdullah ibn Saydan, this guy's hadith are not to be taken. Yani we don't consider his hadith to be used as evidence. So Bukhari was not very impressed with this narrator, and his hadith are not to be used as an evidence. Now, who is this chap? Some did consider him to be a companion. May Allah have mercy upon him. But the correct position is that he was a tabi'i and a senior tabi'i, but he was not one of the imams of hadith and not a specialist in hadith, and therefore he's not considered to be one of the trusted narrators. Okay. Sheikh then says, we can't use this anyway for evidence. And here's the reasons why. Number one, this is a weak narration, as Imam al-Nawawi and others said. And even its narrators, Imam al-Bukhari, mentioned that they are not to be considered in the use of hadith to strengthen one another. Yeah? That's the first reason. The second reason, he goes, even if we were to say, khalas, yani, devil's advocate, let's say this hadith is authentic, this athar, this narration is authentic. Well, even then, it doesn't even have any evidence that tells you that the beginning time of Jum'ah starts at the at sunrise. It doesn't. Because he said, كَانَتْ خُطْبَتُهُ وَصَلَاتُهُ قَبْلَ نِصْفَ النَّهَارِ. He himself said, the narrator said, Abdullah said, that the Jum'ah prayer of Abu Bakr was before midday. He didn't say it was at the beginning of the day. He said before midday. That can be 5 minutes before midday. It could be 10 minutes before midday. It could be right around that time. He didn't say it was 6 hours before then, right? He goes, it indicates it's just qareeb. Qareeb min al-naswa huwa al-zawal. He goes, if it was if it was the beginning of the day, he would say in the beginning of the day, there's a massive difference between the difference. And that's why he said that it was just thereabouts with Abu Bakr and bang on midday with Umar and just after it with Uthman. The rest of the narration also supports this. And so on top of page 33, Sheikh says, وَحَدِدُ الْعَلَىٰ نَصْلَاتَ أَبِي بَكَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Because this indicates that even Abu Bakr's prayer itself was pretty much the same as Umar's. It's right up there, right, very, very close. Okay? Based upon these narrations, though, the Hanbali said that the Jum'ah prayer before the Dhuhr start time is valid. And that's the position of the Madhab. And it's from the Mufradat, as we said. Mufradat means that it's one of the unique positions. What are the unique positions of the Hanbali school? For example, making wudu after you eat camel meat. For example, Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma ghafirli, in between the two sajda when you sit, this is obligatory, for example. And a few others that I'm sure that you can remember. So this is like one of the unique positions, right? That Jum'ah can be prayed early meaning in Zawal time, and before Zawal time, and also significantly before Zawal time. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, of course, there are different other opinions in this issue. He goes, the second opinion is that it is not valid except until after Zawal. And this is the madhab of Malik, Shafi'i, and Abu Hanifa, the Aimat al-Thalatha. Right, the three madhabs and the vast majority of scholars, by the way. Al-Qawl al-Thalith, the third opinion in this matter, is that this prayer is a valid prayer as long as it's done, the Jum'ah, khutbah, and the prayer is performed in the sixth portion. The sixth portion, as-sa'a as-sadisa, meaning that if you were to basically take sunrise and divide that sunrise, take the start time of sunrise up until, so sunrise right now in Mecca is about 7 o'clock, and Dhuhr time is about 12:30. And so that is 5.5 hours. That basically means that if we divide that into six portions, looking around about 50 odd minutes. So every hour is 50 minutes. And so what this hadith tells us, if it was even authentic, all right, is that a person who gets himself ready, has a shower basically at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by the way, this is not something out of the ordinary, especially when you're in these places here. If you want to get into the masjid or get a prime time seat, that's what you're going to have to do. So you either set off at 8 o'clock in the morning or about 8:50, 9 o'clock, that's in the second hour, or then about 9:40, which is in the third hour, or about 10:30, which is in the fourth, or about 11:20, which is in the fifth, and then you've got the last one, which is sixth. The ones who set off earlier, they're going through a huge jihad. They have to sit there, cross their legs, can't go to toilet, fall asleep, God knows what. And that's a major jihad, that is. Major jihad. And
for that effort, the angels will write that person's name down, as a hadith states, the other hadith, and they'll get the reward of the camel, effectively, of cleaning up with the camel, etc., etc. So the idea is that it's something serious, yeah, big and important. And what they said is that the last hour is something we'll accept, right? Because of the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which has been narrated before, that the one who comes, and then in after the fifth hour, فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامُ حَضْرَةِ الْمَلَائِكَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرَ. And then in that last sixth hour, just before Zawal, then the Imam will come out and the angels will also attend to listen to the dhikr. Okay? So Sheikh says that according to the hadith of Abu Hurairah, clearly the Imam comes out in the sixth hour, which is obviously just before Zawal. So it would be, for example, if Dhuhr time starts at 12:30, then this is being given at 12:15, 10 past 12. It's there, thereabouts. And Sheikh Uthaymeen says, and this was the opinion of Ibn Qudama. This is what Al-Muwaffaq Ibn Qudama, he considered to be the strongest opinion, radiallahu anhu. And of course, he's from the greatest and the biggest of the scholars of the Hanbali school, from Ashab Imam Ahmed. Of course, he didn't meet Imam Ahmed, but he was, you know, from the major imams. And that in his opinion, he differs with the madhab and says that it's not valid before then. So neither in the fifth or the fourth or the third. So you can't be praying at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. And that's why I said to you that scholars who use this, they do depend upon this. And also, Al-Khiraqi, who of course is also one of the famous scholars and the fuqaha of the Hanbali school, he also chose this position that it's possible to pray in the sixth. Not so early like the rest of the school are saying, that you can pray in the morning time and all this kind of behavior, but you can pray around 12 o'clock, you know, 11:45, 12:15, basically thereabouts before Zawal. Sheikh says that there's no doubt that it's safer, if in the Hanbali school, it's safer to take these positions of Ibn Qudama and Al-Khiraqi, yani to pray late, just before Zawal. And he goes, and even better than that, and even safer than that, is to stick to what the majority of the scholars said. And you can see that he himself doesn't accept this, doesn't believe in it. He wants to do it after Zawal, which the other three scholars absolutely agree upon, and therefore we should never consider even praying Jum'ah before Zawal. Now, I say that, yeah? So I want you to imagine, right? He's basically said, let's go with the safe position of the majority, and let's go with what the evidences are clearly suggesting, which is that it's got to be after Zawal. So many evidences for that. The hadith of Anas, I gathered here. Let's have a look. Look at the evidences for it being actually according to the majority. Let's read through these hadith. Firstly, the hadith in Bukhari of hadith of Anas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kan yusalli al-jum'ah hina tamil al-shams, that he would pray the jum'ah once the sun started to incline, meaning time to move. That's narrated by Bukhari. That's clearly in the afternoon. The hadith of Salman ibn Aqwa radiallahu anhu, he said that we would do the jum'ah in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once the sun had moved after the dhuhr time. Hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. And also Bukhari, yani, was so clear on the matter that in his Sahih Bukhari, in his Jami'ah, in his collection of hadith, he wrote the chapter title, and he gave, you know, whenever Bukhari writes a chapter title that is indicating his fiqh position, he says, chapter, the time of the Jum'ah, once the sun has set, meaning that the sun has now moved and Dhuhr has started. Also narrated from Umar and Ali and Nu'man ibn Bashir and Amr ibn Hurayth radiallahu anhum, that they all did that as well. Okay, that they all did that as well. And as so you've seen the evidences, and clearly the evidences of the second position are much stronger and much clearer. So the question is that do we just reject this first opinion? Well, no, actually it has been narrated by a number of companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, for example, and Jabir, for example, and even from some of these scholars that have got some of these narrations, like Salam ibn Aqwa, for example. He goes, we used to pray the Jum'ah prayer, and we used to finish, and there'd be no shadow. No shadow means that it's right above. We finished. And so many narrations from companions, which all are not all weak, some are authentic, that we would finish the prayer, and then we would eat, and then we would sleep. And the eat and sleep happens after Zawal, right? Happens in the afternoon period. So There's a lot of evidences, and Sheikh Uthaymeen and Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar al-Shanqiti and these lot, they discuss this. And I think that what's really useful as a concluding position is that it is a difficult one to kind of just write off. The stronger and safer position is no doubt always to be praying after Zawal, because even the Hanbalis are saying that it's completely fine after Dhuhr. It's not like they're saying it starts before and you can't pray after Dhuhr time. It starts before Dhuhr time, but you can't pray after. They're saying it starts before Dhuhr time and it goes all the way until Asr. So they all agreed that it works after Dhuhr. So why are we taking a risk with just one imam, yani using some opinions to go, or one school rather, and then starting early? So therefore we say that let's not go down that line, and let's stick to that majority position. And like I mentioned to you, there are certain places, certain times that might have a need, right? A necessity, winter time, working conditions, hospital setting, whatever. It's a fatwa position. You know what I mean? It's a scenario where you can accept that a person might want to use this to help a community out, to give fatwa, to pass in some situation. And I have to tell you that I think that's a sensible kind of a medium position. All right. Then Sheikh says at the bottom of page 33, فَإِنْ خَرَجَ وَقْتُهَا. And so if the time then, if one misses the time, قَبْلَ تَحْرِيمَ, all right, صَلُّ ظُهْرَ, literally translated. I didn't translate it literally. I translated it with some artistic license. I've said, if one misses the time before even starting the prayer, he should offer the Dhuhr prayer, otherwise he is to pray the Friday prayer. The literal translation is that before you are able to say Allahu Akbar, yeah, Takbiratul Ihram, before you're able to say Allahu Akbar, then you got to pray Dhuhr. But if you did have enough time to say Allahu Akbar, then you pray the Jummah prayer. And the translation I wrote was, if one misses the time before even starting the prayer, he should offer the Dhuhr prayer. Otherwise, he is to pray the Friday prayer. Meaning otherwise, if you are able to get the takbir in, then you got the prayer. And therefore, I think. So the class position, Warda, on the start Jummah time is after Zawal. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's the position of the absolute vast majority of the classical, traditional, the modern, contemporary. Absolutely no doubt, whilst recognizing that certainly some of the Sahaba clearly, and it's not possible to refute that, it's not possible to reject that some of them did actually pray the Jummah prayer before Zawal. They did. And I have to tell you that there's a narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud that I was looking at earlier on. Aywa. And what did he say? I can't find what he said. But anyway, look what the Shafi'iyyah say. That you obviously are looking at the heat as well. You're just trying to kind of, minimize the thing. So normally you delay for that reason. Okay. So anyway, I had a really nice statement here, man, from Ibn Mas'ud, but I can't find it. Anyway, khair. So the point is that the class position is that after Afa. Anyway, where have I got to? So, فَإِنْ خَرَجَ وَقْتُهَا قَبْلَ تَحْرِيمَ. So if you are not able to even say Allahu Akbar, just to be clear, they would pray the Jum'ah before Zawal, but they would still count it as their Dhuhr. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're saying that that on Jum'ah, the time for the Dhuhr replacement for Friday, Jum'ah, is more than just the Dhuhr time. It is meant to be for that period of time, but it can start early. It's almost like they have almost like a unique time slot, which is wider than the Dhuhr prayer. This is replacing the Dhuhr prayer, or it's instead of the Dhuhr prayer. Obviously, these words are very kind of sensitive, replacement, not replacement, whatever. So no, there's no other prayer to be prayed. If a person was to finish completely the Jum'ah prayer before Zawal, that doesn't mean that there now needs to be offered a Dhuhr prayer because the Dhuhr prayer is empty, the time period. No, the Jumu'ah prayer is for the Dhuhr prayer period. It's just saying that's the start time, that's the end time, and you've prayed it in the early time. That's what they're saying. Yeah? So that should be absolutely clear. Right. So Sheikh says that, so this is a classic Hanbali line, that if a person is not even able to say Takbiratul Ihram in the remaining point, then he's got to pray Dhuhr. And he goes, this is such a hypothetical situation. Okay? Yeah, Takbiratul Tahrim, that's right. Just Allahu Akbar to start the prayer. He goes, this is not practical. He goes, it's very, very unlikely that a person, that the Imam or the Masjid would allow the Jummah prayer to go, the Jummah khutbah and the prayer to be delayed so badly that the time would run out that you can't even say Allahu Akbar. He goes, you know, that's so rare. You know, that a person is going to be running that masjid and, you know, allow the khutbah and the you know, to start so late and the prayer to start so late or allow it to keep going on. The idea, of course, is that they don't know what happens in, you know, they don't know what happens in the real world. You know, when you're in the winter times in some of our places, obviously, that does happen. That does happen. It really is something that needs to be considered, especially like, you know, if you're praying around 1:40 and the masjid is a Hanafi masjid and they believe that Asr is at 2:10. And actually, Asr was, according to the correct position, at 1:35, and they still haven't started the khutbah. That's a real fitna. It's a real problem. It's a real problem because you believe Asr has started, and you're still listening to the khutbah, let alone the prayer. Is your prayer valid or not? Well, we're giving fatwa that is valid based upon the fact that the Hanafi school follows a mujtahid opinion. More than a little dig at Chiro Masjid, massive dig, and massive dig to every Hanafi mosque that the rest of the world pray at. Are we going to invalidate all their prayers because they're praying in a masjid that follows a mujtahid imam? It's very difficult to say that. Very difficult to say that. It is a matter of ijtihad. And, you know, a person should try to avoid that prayer if it's non-Hanafi. And this is why I always say that when you are in a masjid that's got two options for the Jumu'ah prayer, you should just always generally aim for the first one from a number of points of view. And I want you to listen to this. The first angle is that the asl prayer is the first one. The second one is always the dodgy one. Whatever you say or however you feel about it, you're using a fatwa to even establish a second prayer. Like I told you, Jumu'ah is like an institution. It should just be one for the land and that's it. Yani you don't even repeat as Jumu'ah in a mosque. It's not allowed. Never ever done. It's only something that we do today because we don't have the space. We don't have the time. So we have to produce two and three. Some mosques even have three Jumu'ahs, right? So the whole thing is aiming at working people and professional people and all the like of it. It's not like, you know, the whole country's declared a holiday. It's a different game. And that's why I think there's some space for that. But anyway, so they repeat the Jumu'ah. So if people are repeating Jumu'ah, which is not done in principle, even though we're saying it's allowed due to the need, you at the individual level should say, you know what, I'm going to focus on the first one. The second is that, especially at certain times of the year, it can get late. That first one can finish yani around the Hanafi, around the not Hanafi Asr, but our Asr, and therefore, is it even a valid prayer? So the point is that you should remove all that yani fitna and aim for the first one. Also, I want to say the first one is normally shorter. The first one is normally shorter. The khatib's under more pressure. And that's the reason I was already under pressure for the second one. No, first one. Do you know how much I gave khutbah the other day? I'll tell you right now. I was under so much pressure. I spoke so quick. I didn't know what I said. What was going on? A horrible khutbah. Neither. Yani, astaghfirullah, it's not the right language to use, but I'm going to say a phrase in Pukhto. Napa sarbani poshu, napa kunai poshu. We didn't understand his head, we never understood his backside. You know, the guy just went tak, 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 tak. We didn't understand what's happening here. We don't know where the head was. We couldn't work out where its backside was. We couldn't see his head, we couldn't see his backside. So anyway, Musallis didn't know what was going on. They're happy. Musallis are happy when they see a message and it's got a beginning and a middle and an end. We're like all over the place. So much pressure. So the first one is obviously early. Anyway, Let's do a few questions here. Why would there be a need for a whole congregation to start Jumu'ah early? Why wouldn't there be a need? Everyone has to come and pray, right? So why not? To catch a prayer, shouldn't one catch the ruku' of this that's coming right away, Amina? Okay, we're going to cover this right now. Practically, where does the earlier Jumu'ah prayer take place? No, we're talking, yeah, exactly as Hannah said. We mean like shift, like first one, second one, third one. It doesn't happen in Haram, no. It doesn't happen in Haram, not at all. The one place it can't happen is the Haram. It's big enough to, yani, to hold the thingy. I'm not going to lie, Fizzle, this is one of my favorite sayings. Yeah, it is one of my favorite sayings. So I'm going to just say it a third time. just in case my mom's watching, you know, she gets upset if I said that. She's not watching, it's okay. No, be able to self a deal. Is it okay to go to a masjid that only has Jumu'ah for women in the second Jumu'ah? Ras! What does that mean? Is it okay to go to a masjid that only has Jumu'ah for women in the second Jumu'ah while there may be other masajid that has one Jumu'ah for men and women? What does that mean? Resh, what does that even mean? Make it make sense, Resh. Don't say that the UK is falling down that Jumu'ah women bakwas. What do you mean? I think you mean that there's an imam, but only the girls attend. For whatever reason, and not many boys, yeah, not many guys. Yeah, that's allowed, of course it's allowed. Yeah. It's a proper Jumu'ah though, yeah. Weird one though, isn't it? Ladies one, ladies only. Ref, please restore my faith in humanity, because I'm telling you right now, if you are in your community, you got some dodgy behavior going on. Some of that, what was that guy called? You know, subhanAllah. I told people, don't give these people the time of day. Tariq, who? Did he not die recently? I think he did. It's men and women. Come on, bro. You give me a heart attack. Yeah, of course it's men and women. Tariq, that kafir, yani, from Toronto. What was his name? He died. Dog. Him and all these other people. All these, and Taj Hagi or whatever his name is. And all these people, liberals, yani. Not even liberals. Flipping. The non-Muslims they were. Feminist, secularist, bloody blahs, radical, yani, whatever. Making Jumu'ah like this and hijab, there's no Islam and blah, blah, blah. People getting so upset and caring about them. Waste men. Amina Wadud from them, yeah. But that Tariq guy, I forgot his name, man. Alhamdulillah that Allah has removed from the hearts the name of his people from Fatah. That's the guy's name. That's the guy's name. Oh, shaitan. So these people's. Anyway. Right. I think she means the females can only pray the second Jumu'ah. Your hymen can't. I think she means the females can only pray the second Jumu'ah behind the men and can't pray the first Jumu'ah. Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm not saying that it's obligatory, guys, that you got to pray the first one. Yeah. I'm not saying that you got to. I'm saying that it's good to pray the first one to get yourself out of all the issues. But if there's only one way to pray it and the second one, then so be it. Yeah, I normally go and pray the second one. Right, because it's easier for me, but during the winter time, I will completely avoid the Jumu'ah, the second Jumu'ah. I need to let a shazad slip there. I completely avoid the Jumu'ah. you know the greatest time to ever attack Shazad Salim when he's not in the room. Shazad Salim is not in this room. Can you believe that? We have been left to our own devices. I have the ability to cut the stream. I have the ability to put some reactions up and play around with YouTube, this, that, whatever. Shazad Salim is miskeen, by the way. All right. Although now that you've written his name down on this, because we're muted. I know that we're on a screen, but we're muted. But now that Mesa has now spilt the beans and put miskeen Shazad, now his eyes are going to pop up. Now he's going to be listening to us now thinking, what's going on? And the reason is because he's currently managing the Zoom call on Hajj. You know Hajj? Do you guys have any idea how stressful Hajj is? You know, subhanAllah, Pakistan Zindabad, they completely disowned him. And India adopted him. And I think they gave him yani thingy, this Tariq Fatah. These people, maybe the only people that there's exception for amongst the kuffar. And these are not just kuffar. These are the aggressive people of kuffar that deserve to be humiliated in life and death all the way. All right, also to add to the women going to the second Jumu'ah. If it's going into Asr time because they're Hanafi and you are not, should the women get up and read Dhuhr because the Jumu'ah wasn't obligated anyway? What a question. and now her dhuhr is running late, or is reading in congregation more important? That's a question which I've got to say is no joke. Okay? No joke, that question. Oh, wallahi, that's a question. The question itself is not difficult. The question is, what would I do, is the question. If I was a woman, and I'm in that scenario, I'm praying dhuhr and I'm getting out of there. But I'm praying dhuhr quietly, silently. Okay? Quietly and silently, not standing up and causing a problem. That's what I'm going to be doing. And yes, children, the seven-year-olds, yeah, they should be 100%. And I want to say that Hajar is not as bad. No way. It's a lot better, actually. But it's still trauma, still disgraceful, disgusting. And Amin to Hannah, who was there, and Hajar was there, who knows how horrible Nusuk is, the new Saudi-run system that controls Hajj. If I've understood correctly from previous lessons, that ideally Jum'ah should be prayed with larger congregations and in a masjid, and ideally not at workplaces and schools. Yeah. As a woman, if your workplace does Jum'ah, should you pray Jum'ah or just pray the Dhuhr? No, I think it's good to pray the Jum'ah prayer, to be part of the gang, and to establish authority and to establish presence and show people and all the rest of it. Yeah. So I think that's something which is good. All right. Sheikh goes, also, on this issue of the you know, stating that there's a Hajj, you see, my head's all over the place. وأيضا من يعني, he goes that those people who talk about the first of all, how rare is it that a person is going to delay the whole khutbah and the prayer and everything until the Jum'ah prayer is about to end? Number one. Number two, how difficult is it to work it out, especially back then? You know, Asr time is you know, observation. When the shadow of a thing is equal to the length that it was at the time of Zawal, and how are you even seeing that and working it out and being super accurate without measuring, and then getting the fact that Allahu Akbar is being, yeah, and he goes, this is so hypothetical. It's so random, he says. And he goes that it's not even possible. But he goes, however, وَلَكِنَ الْفُقَهَ رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهُ وَجَزَاهُمْ عَنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدْ خَيْرًا. Look at the dua that Shaykh Uthaymeen makes for them. He goes, but the jurists, may Allah forgive, have mercy upon them and reward them on behalf of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, plenty, plenty times over. He goes, they would do this. They would go into the hypotheticals to train the brain, right? To train the mind, to get people thinking outside the box so that they're ready to be able to answer other questions. Even if the issue that they're discussing can only happen once in 1,000 years or once in a blue moon, right? It's not about that. It's about opening up all of the things to establish some principles so that you're forced to think of a new principle, which is therefore then allowing a principle to remain in place after you've done your hard work that will allow people to come later then to create answers based upon those same principles for situations that you could never have worked out in your time, but later things are all kinds of, you know, everything's popping off, right? So that's really good. And he goes, this is وَحَذَ مِنْ حُسْنَ تَرْبِيَ وَتَعْلِيمِ, that this is the right way to do it, yani for scholars, from their tarbiyah skills and from their teaching skills, is to, you know, identify principles, usul, right? Identify principles that we can use to be able to, you know, to develop things. So anyway, so the humbly said what? That if they're not even able to make takbir of ihram in the Jum'ah time, then that means they didn't catch anything from the prayer. That means that the Jum'ah prayer has finished. That means they need to pray dhuhr. And why do they need to pray dhuhr? Because dhuhr itself can be made up, but Jum'ah can't be. Because even the dhuhr prayer that you're going about to pray now is in the Asr time, isn't it? The time's run out. Think about this for a second. So the Jum'ah time, it ran out. It ran out. You weren't able to catch anything. According to the Hanbalis, therefore, that if you did and were able to say Allahu Akbar and then the adhan for Asr went off, you are now going to pray the Jum'ah prayer. That's the Hanbali position. All right? But if you're not even to say, you know, Allahu Akbar and the adhan goes off, however unlikely that is, but if that happened, there is no Jum'ah prayer, you prayed Dhuhr prayer. But that Dhuhr prayer, you're praying an Asr prayer. But what they are saying is that the reason you're praying the Dhuhr prayer is because only the Dhuhr prayer can be made up. There's no such thing as making up a Jum'ah prayer. You can't make up a Jum'ah prayer. You're either there and you got it, or you didn't. Simple as that. Okay? There you are. And Sheikh says, but also let's not forget that before this takbir, you've got to give the obligatory khutbah, and you got to say in that khutbah the very basic necessary obligations for it to be a valid khutbah, as well, which will come later. And of course, what the author is speaking about is only something specific to those people who believed that the only way that you can catch a prayer is through a takbir, right? And in the Hanbali madhab, والمذهب جميع الإدراكات تعتبر تكبيرة الإحرام إلا إدراكا واحدة. This is very interesting. He goes that actually when it comes to the issue of catching something, meaning catching the time, catching the prayer, any prayer, every prayer, all prayers are caught simply by the takbir in the Hanbali school, except for one case. What does that mean? It means that before the sun rises, if you can say Allahu Akbar, and then the sun appears on the horizon, at Fajr time, you carry on and you finish the Fajr prayer because you caught it. And if the Asr time is and then the sun's about to set, it's gone down red, and you got Allahu Akbar, and the sun sets, and the Adhan for Maghrib goes off, and you've just said Allahu Akbar, you carry on and you pray Salatul Asr because you caught it. This is called Idraq. You caught it in time. And Shaykh Uthaymeen says that every Idraqat, all of the catching, the caught ups, catchings of all these prayers happens with one takbir, just the takbir to ihram, sorry, the tahrima, except for one case, وَهُوَ إِدْرَاكُ الرَّجُلُ صَلَاةُ الْجُمْعَةِ لَا يَكُنْ إِلَّا بِإِدْرَاكِ الرَّكْعَةِ كَامِلَ كَمَا سَيَأْتِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. He goes that the only time that there's an exception is actually in Jum'ah. And this is about whether a person prays the Jum'ah prayer, and the one prayer person who prays the Jum'ah prayer, this is going to come next year, inshallah, is a person who arrives late to the Jum'ah prayer. What happens? Let's say that the time, there's plenty of time left, there's an hour left, but the khutbah finished and you are struggling and you're running in. And as you run in, the imam has already prayed one rak'ah of Jum'ah and he's in the second rak'ah in Fatiha. So you're going to join and then you're going to pray the remaining prayer and you're fine because you prayed a full rak'ah. If you joined him in the first rak'ah, you're absolutely fine. You've got him in both rak'ah. But if you join him in the sajda of the second unit, you miss the first fatiha and the ruku', and you miss the second fatiha and the ruku', and you've caught him in the sajda of the second unit, then whatever you pray now, all the sajdas, all the tashahud, all the taslim, you haven't even caught one rak'ah. You've got to stand up and pray two. The Hanbalis go against their principle. They go against their rule, which is that you only need to say Allahu Akbar, right, to catch a prayer. They said, no, in Jum'ah, you've got to catch the ruku', you've got to catch a rak'ah to continue it as Jum'ah. So the Hanbalis say what? The Hanbalis say that if you miss that second rak'ah, then like the rest of the scholars, then you've got to stand up and pray dhuhr. You've missed the Jum'ah prayer. That's coming later. So Sheikh Uthaymeen says that the Hanbalis are of the opinion that just saying Allahu Akbar for the normal prayers is enough. Was-sahih, but the correct position, as is the position of all the rest of the scholars and the class position as well, is لِأَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْإِدْرَاكَاتِ لَا تَكُونَ إِلَّا بِرَكَعَةٍ. The only way that you can catch anything is a complete rak'ah, full rak'ah, one rak'ah. And that means not ruku'ah. That means that you have to pray with the imam, the standing, the X, the Y, the Z, the sajda, and then stand back up again. This is or be on the way up to be standing or standing. Yeah, that's one rak'ah. You catch one rak'ah, then you are thingy, right? And what's this based upon? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Man adraka rak'ah min as-salah, faqad adraka as-salah. Whoever catches a unit from the prayer has caught the prayer. Hadith sahih. This is the literal statement of the hadith, and it indicates that whoever doesn't catch a rak'ah has not caught the prayer. And this is in all of the scenarios, all of the possible scenarios. Okay, so he goes, for example, look at these different scenarios. This is very good, actually, very beneficial. He goes, let's give an example. Number one, we have a lady and she starts menstruating. She starts menstruating, okay, after the sun has set, after the sun has set, Maghrib has entered, and she menstruates 1 second later, the length of time it takes to say Allahu Akbar, 1 second. Okay? So, Allahu Akbar. That's length of time. After Maghrib, she starts menstruating. According to the madhab, she caught Maghrib. Okay? She caught Maghrib. As for the majority of scholars, they said she didn't catch Maghrib at all. Exactly, no one can time anything like that. These are all hypotheticals, but let's carry on with it. وَعَلَى الْقَوْلِ بِأَنَّهُ لَابُدْ مِنْ رَكَعَى لَمْ تُدْرَكْ. And as for the opinion of the majority who said that you only catch the Maghrib by doing the full unit, all right, then she didn't catch the Maghrib at all. وَيَبْنِي عَلَيْهِ هَلْ إِذَا. And then therefore, why is this important? You might say, well, who cares, right? The question is that then when she becomes pure, does she have to make up this prayer or not? So when she becomes pure, does she need to make up this prayer? Yeah? So 1 week later, when she becomes pure, she started menstruating in this scenario, 1 second after Maghrib, enough time for takbir to be said. Sheikh says, the answer to this question is that according to the Hanbali madhab, she has to make it up, because that was enough time to pray the prayer, and she caught the prayer. وَعَلَى الْقَوْلَ الثَّانِي لَا تَقْضِيهَا. And according to the correct Mesa, and according to the majority of scholars, she didn't, because she didn't catch the prayer, didn't have time to catch the full unit, so therefore she didn't catch the prayer. Sheikh says, there also is a third opinion here, with that, أَنَّهُ لَا قَضَى عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا إِذَا أَخَّرَتِ الصَّلَاةَ حَتَّى ضَاقَ وَقْتَهَا. And this is our position. We spoke about this before. The third position is that she doesn't need to offer this prayer. She doesn't need to make it up afterwards. The only time that a woman needs to make up a prayer is if she intentionally delayed it so much that it's not possible to pray it. If you remember, we spoke, those who have covered menstruation with me in LP, or done the revision classes with the girls, yeah, I think Bidad and Fiza and all the girls and Umar Ibrahim and all the gang, they did some revision sessions and revised it again, I believe. Yeah. So you would have come across various statements and various positions and so on. And one of them is the discussion about, you know, so for example, if a lady, you know, Maghrib enters, although Maghrib is a bit kind of dodgy because everyone kind of prays Maghrib quite quick, right? But let's say Dhuhr. So Dhuhr enters, but you don't pray at 12:30. You pray at 3:00 because that's what you normally do. And there's still half an hour left until Asr, so that's fine. Some scholars said, no, you have to pray the prayer at the beginning time. And if you didn't pray the prayer in the beginning time, you've got to make up that prayer because you didn't pray. We said, what are you talking about? It's allowed to pray at 3:00. And if I know at 12:30 and 1:30 and 2:30 that I'm praying at 3:00, and then I start menstruating, I didn't do anything haram. I didn't do anything haram. And I'm not going to make up that prayer because I'm allowed to delay that prayer. The only exception is that I left it to 3:29, knowing that I can't pray my Dhuhr prayer in 1 minute. Why the fish did you leave it until 3:29? Intentionally, so I mean. This person has to make up this Maghrib prayer afterwards when she becomes pure. That makes sense? All right? She's sinful as well for delaying the prayer in that way and the like. And he goes, and so therefore, you know, it's allowed to delay the prayer. But he goes, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, but we do, I just want to say that according to the female companions, that annahunna we learned something from them. First of all, we didn't see any of them make up the prayers of the prayer times when they hadn't prayed it and they became in their menses. We didn't see any narrations from them making up the prayer. That's the first thing. Second thing, he said, وَإِنْ كَانَ يَحْتَمَلَ أَنَّهُنَّ عِنْدَ تَحَرِّيَ الْحَيَضِ يَقْدِمْنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي أَوَلِ الْوَقْتِ. Yani he goes, and also, you know, a woman feels that something's happening. You know, they know that the cycle, everything, the body clock. And so when that happens, they can feel it. And so what the sahab, female sahabiyat used to do is that they used to pray the prayer intentionally at the beginning time. so that it doesn't fall into this kind of dodgy area, doubtful area that I delayed it and delay it on purpose, not purpose. When they feel a situation going thingy, they not see these people not trying to run from prayer, right? They love the salah. It's very important. So they pray in the early time, just yani, so that the menstruation doesn't come and take it away. And Allah knows best. So that's one example of how to catch something. He goes, second example is a woman who, right, who she's on her menses, then she becomes pure. And she becomes pure, clean, just before Maghrib. Just before Maghrib, the length of time for saying Allahu Akbar. Which is crazy. So just before the Adhan, 1 second before the Adhan, enough time to say Allahu Akbar, Asr time basically, 1 second later, Maghrib time. How she checked and realized that she'd become pure, I don't know, don't ask any questions, right? But she realizes. Now that she realizes, what does she need to do? She's become pure. The Hanbali school says that she now needs to pray Salatul Asr, whatever happens. Obviously, she's going to pray it late, but she could have caught the Asr prayer because it was a length of time of Takbir and she didn't. She needs to pray the Asr prayer. She needs to pray it. And they also said that you got to pray Dhuhr as well. The Madhab said, because the time period is one big time period and Dhuhr and Asr can be combined. And so if you caught the time period for Asr in your purity, even by one takbir, because that's all that is needed to establish the prayer, then all the prayers of that time period combined is what you've got to make up. So you've got to make up the Dhuhr prayer and the Asr prayer. The second position in the matter, wa ala al-qawl al-thani, she does not need to make up neither the Asr prayer and neither the Dhuhr prayer. As for the Dhuhr prayer, then that's even if we were to make that up, it's got to be connected to the Asr prayer. It only is made up because of the Asr prayer. The Dhuhr prayer is not made up because Dhuhr is owing. The Dhuhr prayer is made up because we could have caught Asr. Listen, follow with this. We could have prayed Asr. But the Asr prayer here wasn't even required because the length of time was less than a whole rak'ah. It was only takbiratul ihram, not enough time to be able to pray one rak'ah. So the Asr prayer isn't even yani needing to be made up. So of course then the Dhuhr prayer isn't needed to be made up. So that makes sense. Sheikh says, all right. There's a woman then. Let's ask the follow-up question, 2B. The woman, she becomes pure from her hair 3 minutes before Maghrib. Enough time to pray one rak'ah. Enough time to pray one rak'ah, Sheikh says, then according to all scholars and madahib, she needs to make up the Asr prayer. She was thereabouts, prayer was valid upon her. She should have been ready. And by the way, when we say tahurat, meaning that she's seen it and she's made the ghusl, yeah, because obviously, if you talk about checking yourself and stuff, oh, I'm clean. No, I mean clean and then the ghusl, right? But, and the assumption is that you've done the ghusl straight away, of course. Yeah. And so now that there's enough time left for one rak'ah, you've got to make up Asr. We agree that. I agree that. Everyone else agrees that. However, do you need to pray the Dhuhr? As we said before, no. You do not need to pray the Dhuhr. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we close year 12. بفضل الله عز وجل والحمد لله رب العالمين. Fantastic. All right, let's do some Q&A. Find out what's going on. Does catching the ruku' of the second rak'ah count as catching a rak'ah of the Jum'ah salah? As always says, yes. If the menstruating woman becomes pure but is unable to make ghusl right away, she's not at her home, what should she do to catch the salah? This is a matter of difference. The safer position is to consider that you need to make up that prayer. In my heart, I find it difficult to accept that, but I do like safe positions in fiqh because we are lazy active like that. Remember Paradise Portfolio? Lazy active. That's our favorite new phrase. Lazy active. Lazy active. guys, you know what? I was on a diet and then I had to break it. The rock became a pebble, but only for one day. But the rock's doing okay. He's doing okay. If she finds out she's clean 3 months before Maghrib, does she quickly tayammum and pray Asr or pray it later after a bath? I think she prays later after a bath. I don't believe that she should be making the thingamajig. Okay. Celebratory al-bayk, Hannah. Is that what you mean? There's only nuggets here in thingy. You know that. It's only nuggets, bro. We're not interested. With little kids, how do you time a shower that easily? Exactly. There is leniency in that. There is leniency. Marina, we're trying our best, bro. Even the secret juicy, I know we're taking it careful on that. Although, to be honest, I need a little drink now. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, questions seem to have slowed down. I think everybody's good. No, Away says, I thought the idraq was only for praying behind the imam to catch the jama'ah. No, not necessarily. It also, as you just saw in the examples there, it's used in like time kind of situations as well, right? Okay, but yeah, you're right that normally idraq is normally, you know, speaking about the imam catching a jama'ah, correct? So now the woman has read her dhuhr silently. Heba's taking me to town on this point. I'm already stressed about this question. So now the woman has read her dhuhr silently because Asr was coming in and the khutbah was going on. When I said silently, I don't mean the prayer silently. I mean that they can't see you doing it because that's like a real bad thing. Can she now join the congregation or Jum'ah with the intention of nafal? I don't know. Yeah, I think it's allowed. It's allowed. It's allowed. So in the situation, it's horrible that. That's why I don't think it's invalid if she stays there and prays Jum'ah with them. Otherwise, me and Shazad and all the other millions who have been forced to do this behavior in all the Hanafi mosques that we prayed in, well, you know, what does that mean? I just think that it's possibly allowed for a woman who shouldn't be, this doesn't need to be there in the first place. So in the situation when Asr time enters as you are making the takbir for the Jum'ah prayer, could you just pray another 2 rak'ah and make it dhuhr? No, that's not good. No, it's not about the intentions not matching. Why are you doing it? Imagine. That's like the people who do what we're going to see now, Ramadan, everyone getting up all bad men, yani, thinking they're so special. No. Okay? I mean, Mecca, Chaudhry Mehran is in Medina. And I'm not going to lie, I took a day off. And the reason I took a day off is because the Hyatt Regency, which is where we are, alhamdulillah, which we're back at, does the greatest breakfast in the history of all breakfasts. And you know why it does the greatest breakfast? Not because they actually give roast garlic, like actual roast garlic. Yeah, not because of that. Not because they have Asian section and they've got noodles and beef curry and chicken salami and for the breakfast. Not only because they have a fantastic fruit section. Not only because they also have salmon, very poor salmon, but at least salmon. Not only because they have in their cake section, this cinnamon kind of cake section. You know, cinnamon, that one, yeah? Sticky type, whatever. Not because it has date smoothies and it has the legendary lime, mint, bloody blah, mojito. No. And not only because it has, I think, 10 cereals. Logical obsession needs to know that Wydad has got to fear Allah and just take it easy on Hyatt Regency's budget for breakfast. Because I think she took enough food for at least 36 people. Not only cakes, this, that. Not only. And the cereals, by the way, there's like 100 cereals. Okay? No. Hyatt Regency, ladies and gentlemen, has an ice cream bar. Walaikum salam wa barakatuh, auntie. An ice cream bar. Strawberry cheesecake. Strawberry with real strawberry pieces, chocolate, vanilla, and mango. The full shabam. Endless scoops for breakfast with your pancakes, with your crepes, with everything. Hyatt Regency Zindabad. Hyatt Regency Zindabad. Hyatt Regency. I killed myself for so many years. Qasam. What was that hotel called? Marriott? Allahu Akbar. What a nightmare. But anyway. Listen, ice cream for breakfast. Qasam say. This is our aim, although there's a couple of programs where we're going to Swissotel, and then we've got a, you know, we're doing an August program this year because we just want to burn ourselves. Yeah, but it's a school holiday one. So we're doing that cheap because it's very expensive flights. So make it cheaper. Yeah, I knew we're doing it in the Anjum hotels to make it cheaper. And then we're also looking for a deal. But yeah, Hyatt now is back on the game all the time, inshallah. but you've got to check for which program. There's all different programs. Marriott, never ever have breakfast at Marriott. It's the most horrible. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Please don't be asking me serious questions like fiqh questions and zakat questions, because I'm now gone. That's now to the group, because we can't do that. Haram, yani, that we now start speaking about things like that after we've lowered the conversation and spoken about food. But I just want to say that a rock is a rock, but they need a day off, yani, once in a while. So I smashed that ice cream bar like you never seen. Then I went to Mumtaz Sarwada and I smashed karhai, lamb, mutton karhai, palak I got. Got the gosht, the chuza, yeah, fresh naan, Ben's cookies. I had the day of my life, the day of my life, day of my life. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you one time right now, it was a proper cheat day. Aisha, fear Allah. Fear Allah, Aisha. Marriott was not fine, and everything was wrong with their breakfast. Everything. And alhamdulillah, we will never, ever, ever, as long as I'm alive, will we go back. My brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure to join, to be with you. My brothers and sisters, I am so, so happy that you have committed and remained with us in LP, the loyal, the few, the standing. My companions, my foot soldiers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you and accept every single second that you have put into this class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the barakah to flow to others, make a sadaqah jariyah from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it all for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the best in this life and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write for all of us a husn al-khatima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this Ramadan to be our best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qiyam, our siyam, our qira'at al-Qur'an. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings ease to those who are suffering beyond human imagination. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the people of power and influence to stop this and to bring this ummah back to that which it deserves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all those who have fallen as our shuhada. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure our sick and to heal our wounded and to have mercy upon our dead and to bless and accept our martyrs, to make easy upon the widows and to bring light to the orphans. Allahumma ameen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give everybody the tawfiq, that ability and that purity of intention to keep pleasing him, to keep raising the game and to refuse mediocrity and to be lights that bring and drag their community to that which is deserving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nasr, so that we can get out this mess as an ummah, because we are the cause of it. We are the cause of it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.